Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land Show. We show you how to buy property for half of what it's worth and resell it the next day. Great information from me, that's Jack.
And inspiration from me, that's Jill.
Here's some funny stuff that happened to us recently.
That was funny what just happened to us recently. I like that.
You guys can't speak, but apparently you can buy some real estate.
Yeah, here we go. I didn't know this happened, and I'm sure you do. And this I think is hilarious. I just learned that some of the properties in Detroit are so goofed up situations that you can actually buy a property for less than what's owed on the water bill. So
that's been going on.
I had no idea. Please explain this to me, because I think that is absolutely hilarious. So the person said, I'm buying properties that are less than the water bill. What?
There's properties in this has been going on for more than a decade. This has nothing to do with the country worldwide recession that we just went through, and hopefully we're out of, or maybe we're not. I don't know. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with just everybody wants to move out of Detroit. And the real critical problem there, this is just my opinion because I'm from there and I'm not bashing Detroit, is that we're in a city block where there used to be 25 houses, there's now 12. And so that provides a pretty serious, dangerous situation. They're vacant or they're torn down. So the utility company's still got to run utilities and water and the whole thing, but now they're only servicing half of their customers, and there used to be twice the customers. So nobody can operate on half, 50% of revenue with the same, pretty much the same basic cost. So that's, and it's just, there's no reason to live there. That's a big problem.
Wait, there's people that like to live there.
So I was talking about this with my buddy recently, and this isn't the meat of the show at all, and he said one thing that Michigan's got that may be valuable here pretty soon is water. So that might change everything. We'll see. It's got lead in it if you're in Flint, but it does have water. No, you can buy some crazy real estate super cheap there. I'm not sure what you'll do with it.
Right.
It's not just about buying cheap dirt, cheap real estate.
No. I just think that was so funny. I did not know that.
Isn't that hilarious, though? All these years, everybody says something like this, like, why the heck do you want to buy property way out there?
Right.
Yeah, well, it turns out we can resell it for a lot more pretty quickly. Try to resell that house in Detroit really quickly.
Man, you know, there are so many shows and things coming up, too, talking about people going off the grid, living out there, just moving out of the city. What's like that whole big thing right now that's going on with the whole San Francisco? You know, I don't know if it was a poll or a survey or what. There was a whole big thing that we were talking about with some people that, you know, a large percentage of people who live in like downtown San Francisco are tired of it and they want to move out and they want to be, you know, do their jobs from their homes and live on some land. Go figure. Gee.
Isn't it cool when the whole world catches up with you?
I know. We were like how many years ahead of everybody? I think it's the greatest thing.
I mean, Silicon Valley has been that. I'm surprised it took this long.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny because this actually happens to me. And this is the reason, this is what led us to going back and forth to Los Angeles. It's like, man, for a month now, I've been sitting at this desk, staring in front of my computer. I could do this on the North Pole.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that whole city specifically is set up just like that.
Yep.
In this episode, Jill and I talk about land investors taking their foot off the gas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that point. Anyway, Jill, great show today. Before we start, let's take a question posted by one of our members on successplant.com, our free online community.
Okay. Kelly wrote, currently I'm in the process of evaluating 2 quarter-acre lots in a small downtown low-income area of town. I have offered to pay their back taxes of $70 and $300 respectively to acquire their land. Good job. I do that too. As I look at these properties in depth, comps have sold, the comps that have sold are between 11,000 and 26,000 for approximately 800 square foot single family homes. So they're looking at, they're trying to compare the lots to the homes. My question is as follows. If the cost per, this is actually a good question because this can be confusing. Okay. If the cost per square foot for a single family home in this area is around $20, am I wasting my time acquiring these properties even if they're as cheap as $70 a parcel? If I resell the property to a builder, I'm assuming it's near impossible to build a house of this size and make a profit. Does anyone have any insight or a similar situation? I'd greatly appreciate it. Okay, I get it. That could be confusing.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Please, Kelly, listen to me because this is a huge hang up for people in the beginning. I really helped one of our members, JP, with this early on, and he's cash flowing very well. You have to have an acquisition criteria. And so what I want you to do is sit down, however it makes sense to you, in front of a blank computer screen or a yellow pad and decide what you want to do. Do you want to buy 40-acre parcels in the western part of the country for $3,000 or $4,000 and sell them for $8,000 on the internet? Do you want to go to the small town where you just described and buy infill lots for $100 and sell them for $300? Because I'm confident you could do that. You have to have an acquisition criteria, and it's through no fault of new people in real estate investment or REI. It's easy to get sidetracked with what possibly could happen. I just received an email very similar to this from a person who's relatively one of our members who's pretty successful. They're on their way up for sure. They're asking all the right questions, and they asked me to analyze a mine, like a former mine. Because they, so that's the kind of thing. If I got a mine in, right, well, I did. Somebody contacted me about a mine. And the first thing I did was say, no, I don't even look at it because it's not within our acquisition criteria. The name of the game here is to get a bunch of letters out in the mail and then offers out in the mail. And then when they come back, look through them and choose the best ones. If it's not what you hope for, which almost never happens, send some more mail out. Or adjust your criteria, but don't go off on some tangent that's not within your acquisition criteria and not within the developing expertise that you're going after. And you know what? I'm going to answer your question directly. I wouldn't. $20 a foot for, this is Detroit or something like that. It's in the Rust Belt for sure. Probably Oklahoma or something. Replacement cost for a single family house without the land is the rock bottom, in my opinion. People debate about this all the time, $60 to $80 to build a new one. And that's without countertops and stuff. If you put anything within reason in it, you're at $100 to $125 a foot. And that's to the seller. That's not the contractor's actual cost. So at $20 a foot, that's a huge red flag for me, aside from the acquisition problem that I just said. So please revamp your acquisition criteria and then stick to it.
It is, you're right, Jack, it is easy to get distracted a little bit and go, oh, look at this over here. Oh, look at this over here. Maybe I should do this, do that. Next thing you know, you're not doing anything because you're analyzing six different models and you've got nowhere.
Every time that Jill and I do an REI talk, a Real Estate Investors Club talk, we're doing more and more and more of them here in Phoenix and in Los Angeles. When it's over, the people who are serious about this business come up to us and inevitably they say that they can't wait to get it out of their mouth. Hey, I got a deal where this guy's doing it, and I just tell him to stop. Because you have to have an acquisition criteria first. That may be the greatest deal in the world. Maybe it's the biggest mistake that you ever made not to do this deal. But I'm telling you, in the long run, if you want to make a career out of this, mm-hmm. you got to have a criteria. Mm-hmm. You got to know your buyers and you're building a career. You're not trying to do a home run.
And you don't have to decide. It's like, I don't want to say like a freshman in college where you change your major six times, but you can change this. You're not, when you start off with your criteria, whatever it is, as you grow, you can say, you know what? I've just decided I'm really good at the large acreage properties. This is my thing. I really like it, you know, and you didn't start out that way, but you kind of grew into it. That's okay. So whatever it is, or like you just said, Jack, the infill lots, because we have people that do that. Maybe you're going to just kind of find your way. Or it's going to find you, you know, however you want to call it. and that's your thing. So you can kind of tack and because I love that term that you use, Jack.
Tacking from sailing, yeah.
Exactly. You can tack as you go and modify your criteria. That's good, but it's not, you don't want to have a criteria of 100 different models. That doesn't work.
Nobody knows this more than commercial real estate agents and brokers. And let me give you an example. So when you're a commercial real estate agent or broker, what you do the same thing that we do, but you contact, let's say, all the owners of apartment buildings and you say, hey, I got this guy over here. He's my client and he buys apartment buildings and I would like to know if yours is for sale. And every single call he makes, the seller says, well, heck yes, it's for sale. And so the new brokers get really excited. And then they asked the owner to fill out the whole thing. How many two bedrooms is it? How many three bedrooms? What's the price per door? And on and on and on. And they get all excited because their buyer said, that's exactly what I want. Well, when it gets all presented, what ends up happening is some version of this. Their client, the buyer, says, you know, this is out of my acquisition criteria. Well, what the heck do you mean it's out of? You told me you wanted this, this, and this. No, no, no. I only want three-bedroom apartments. This thing's perfect, but it's got 50% of them are two bedrooms, and that's just not what we do. So pros in this business know exactly what their acquisition criteria is, and they will shell out tons of cash if you hit it on the nose. So it's super important right from we don't talk about this enough, clearly. Or maybe we talk about it too much. I don't know. Jill, what do you think?
No, I think it's great. No, I think it's great, and you're right. I got a little distracted because I thought, is this the topic of the thing?
No, because
we haven't even gotten into that. I'm like, this should be the topic.
You know, it sort of is. Well, it is. It's the technical tense.
I got a little sidetracked.
Let's get back on track. Hey, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, call 800-725-8816. Today's topic is land investors take their foot off the gas. Why? Why would someone take the foot off their gas and not just barrel through it, Jill?
Because they can.
Because they can.
Yeah. What? What do you mean? Are you talking? Well, I can go both directions. I can say it is a good thing or I can say it is a not good thing. So which are you referring to, Jack? I'm not sure.
We, as land investors, have taken our foot off the gas from a mailer standpoint because there's so many deals coming in.
Again, because we can.
Yeah. Well, explain it, please, because you know what I mean.
Yeah, because you're either doing something right. That's what I'm saying. When you take your foot off the gas because you've done something right in a very, very, very good way. That you're not out there having to kill it. You've got it into a system. Maybe everything's going smooth. You're hitting your numbers. However you want to call it, I'm okay with that. That's what I mean when I say you can.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. What do you mean?
No, I think that at some point, and some of our members are just about at that point, well, several are, the ones that we don't hear from anymore because they're so successful, are now picking and choosing exactly which deals that they want and throwing the others away or throwing them back down to everybody in the group. So I think it's a great sign where they're kind of like, it's when the wave is cresting and you're standing up on the board for the first time where you can kind of just enjoy it a little bit. And pick and choose. It means you've established a great deal flow and you're picking and choosing the best ones because you know exactly who's going to buy it. You know, you did everything right. And that's a celebration moment. It's not, you know, I don't mean close your doors for a month. I just mean it's a great, great feeling when a property comes in and you can say, oh my gosh, I've done everything right. I know exactly who's going to buy this. I know that. And we've been there for years and years, but it's hard to communicate that to someone brand new. That's really what this show is about.
Do you know it's a great feeling for me? When you obviously miss the beach and you have a surfing analogy.
Yeah, not a car analogy.
Not a car analogy. Not a car analogy, not a motorcycle analogy, not a Michigan analogy. That was a surfing analogy. I think that was great. That's really
an analogy that doesn't involve motor oil.
That's right.
Or baseball.
Or baseball or something. That's really good. I like that.
Thank you.
So good.
This is the Technical 10. It's 10 minutes of property investment advice from our 15-year, 15,000 deal experience. This is the topic. Without an acquisition criteria, you will delay success.
Where did we hear that before? You did say this is the technical 10. So this should probably be the technical 2 because we already did the technical 8.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
So how do you want to add on to that?
So this is what I would suggest. And because this is the technical 10, I would literally write down your acquisition criteria, literally, and stick it on your monitor in a sticky note or whatever you do. This month, we're only buying 5-acre properties in Navajo County, Arizona. Next month, we're only buying infill lots in some small town in XYZ, Oklahoma. Those are not accidental, by the way. Those are our acquisition past acquisition criteria. Now, my acquisition criteria is this, and I don't suggest as a new person that you do this at all. We only sell property that we know we can double our money on by handing someone literally an APN, someone that we know and have done business with almost all the time.
It's the best.
We said in a prior show that, you know, sometimes we don't lead by example. That is absolutely what you should not do.
You can't start out that way. You got to build up your list and your people, and they know you and all of that.
That's my acquisition criteria. Now it has to be purchased before we buy it. We have to know who's going to before we buy it. We have to know who's going to buy it from us, and it has to be at least twice the money.
Mm-hmm. Talk about a good goal, though.
Yeah.
You know, if I were just starting out, I would be like, wow. So I think that's
the other thing
goal.
That I look at all the time that we don't ever talk about anymore, Jill. I love when we stop talking about stuff because we know it's just solved and done.
Mm-hmm.
The number of new people that opt in to our buyer list and companies exceed, I don't know, between 10 and probably 25 a day.
Yes.
And that's why I just don't look at it anymore. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to find new buyers. They're finding us.
So we kind of took our foot off the gas.
That's why I wrote the show. Exactly.
Awesome.
Well said. Good summary.
Thank you.
Hey, if you have some questions or you want to be on the show, please call 800-725-8816. I bet Jill has some inspiration for us.
How many entrepreneurs became entrepreneurs to solve a problem for a company? I was just kind of thinking about that and doing some research, and I noticed that a common denominator. And I also even thought about us. One of our side businesses was to solve our own problem. And I'm talking about data.
You nailed it.
Isn't that interesting? So I was just kind of looking at people that have been successful in other worlds and other environments. And so many of those people, this is kind of probably an overused example, but think about Facebook. He sat down to create this environment, you know, meeting people and all that good stuff. And I think he was kind of solving a problem. You know, look at Jack, what can you think of? Do you have some examples?
Yeah, I do. And I just read I'm glad you brought, you know, Jill and I keep a bunch of stuff from each other before we do the show. So there is some element of surprise. And I just read a thing on this probably about less than a year ago. You ever hear that about people walking around their house and they're like, oh man, I should make a better toaster because the toast came out bad. That's one way to do it, but I don't believe in that. The best companies, the single best new companies are derived from solving your already existing customers' problems. So, you know, one of the problems that our customers had, or they're not problems, but they're telling us about it, was, hey, the data source that you're supplying lacks X. And so what did we do? We went out and solved it.
Mm-hmm.
We included another source that solves that problem and gives GPS coordinates for every single property. We haven't rolled it out yet, but it's coming within days. And we're not raising our prices. It comes with a subscription. So we're going to solve that problem. And then
mailer problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that it was a problem, but like you said, we were the data existed, but not with this. It wasn't
perfect.
Together. No.
Yeah.
We combined it and made it a better, less expensive for everybody in every way option.
Yeah, you know, you can have the greatest database in the world, but if you don't have an efficient way to mail it and get it in front of it or deliver it, let's say, whatever method is possible, deliver it to the property owners that you've chosen out of that data, it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
And so we combined them, and they're used in a super efficient way.
Exactly.
Those are all examples of solving customers' problems. The next one we're solving, and it's in production right now, is this flood of questions that I'm getting from house flippers about how did this apply?
Exactly.
So, you know, Jill and I don't talk about it at all, but we wholesale houses all the time.
Yeah.
We probably don't do it right, but it makes a lot of money.
I got to tell you something funny about that too, by the way. There was a guy that actually unsubscribed from one of my things the other day, because, and his comment was, oh, I don't deal with that. I deal with single family homes. And I'm like, oh, just wait. I haven't emailed him back yet, but I was going to send him a nice email like, you know, hold on a moment. Wait, do you see what's coming? So it's awesome.
I never told
solving
you
solving the problem.
I have, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you this, but I really pay attention for a lot of reasons to people who unsubscribe and why.
Yeah, me too.
I never pay attention to who subscribes because I know why.
Right.
And that tripped my radar too. And,
yeah.
I contacted that person.
Oh, you already did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Good. That's so funny. We're both on the same page. Love it.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want. We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
Get there first.
Nice recovery, Jill.
Thank you. Hey, did you really reach out to that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know if he sent anything back. I said, hey, it's funny that you mentioned that because we're doing this thing. That's we're in production.
It is too. That's why we're still on the seas. About to get an email from me. That's really good.
You know what I've found out about the single family residential? We call them SFR people here. They're really just flippers, mm-hmm. flippers or renovators or whatever. The people that are finding us and reaching out to us for whatever reason are pretty experienced at this already, but their sources of finding cheap property are drying up. I'm not sure why this is. I think maybe it's a part of a recession recovery thing. And so they're trying to find other ways to buy property, and I think we're tripping their radar. Mm-hmm. So they're a lot more experienced. They don't need the formal education, or they don't think they do. They just want access to the data.
Right.
And the printing and the whole thing.
So, happy to help.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I love it. Yeah. I love that they're reaching out to us. They're getting it, you know, and that's what we're doing right now, spread the word.
Yep.
Let everybody know that we can help with all of that.
Exactly.
Cool. Let's go buy some property for half price.
Let's sell some property for double. Jack and Jill, information and inspiration.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.